Nothing greater than God's presence. Oh, happy days. You know, when we praise and worship, we release a frequency that the devil hates. It brings them confusion. They can't communicate. It's an anti-Christ, they have an anti-Christ frequency. Amen? And we're dismantling their anti-Christ frequency. When you praise and worship, they go into confusion. But there's a frequency that's released, an infrequency. You know, we release a frequency all the time. There's a radiance that the Word says, and the presence of God came and they were radiant. And in that frequency that you and I release, it brings healing. It brings refreshing. So this is what we call getting the understanding of spiritual warfare. That's why God has created much more music that brings healing to people's soul and their body. It's amazing how many times people don't feel good and they stay home. And the enemy keeps them bound in their own frequency when they should be coming into God's presence and look for healing. What does the Word say in God's presence? That there's healing. Amen? That there's refreshing, there's restoring. That there's strengthening. You can get a new heart. And we certainly always need a new mind. Amen? And we become another person. Because the old man is always trying. See, every time you come into God's presence, you get refreshed with God's presence. You become more like God's ways. And the longer you linger from God's presence, the old ways begin to come. So the more you're in God's presence, the more you're refreshed. But the enemy likes to busy us. He likes to get things going in our life. I said our life, not his life. And we have to discern these things now because of so many things that are going on in the world. We're hard-pressed all over the place. There's much, much deception, delusion. There's much interference and distraction. Much. And in this frequency, I want to share something before we get going. They want to, you know, they're promoting 5G, which is a frequency. Amen? Now, 5G, it's in what they call EMF, electrical magnetic frequency. It's mostly well established in biological effects. It is a frequency. It also has a radiation to it. You know, radio frequency, electronic, magnetic. Think about this. Electronic magnetic frequency. Now, they want to get this everywhere. Amen. They say that it's not harmful. But who can believe them? Amen. Now, they just expose many individuals and scientists and so forth have exposed the visor. They are now bio nanotechnology in these. They have found four metallic objects growing into self-assembling circuits, rapidly expanding when warmed up by the human body. Think about that. I'm going to say that again. These vacuums now are, they found in them a foreign metallic objects growing into self-assembling circuits. They rapidly expand when put into a body because the warming of the body accelerates them. They're changing the God DNA into their own created DNA. Listen, I saw microscopic pictures of what the human DNA part is and what these things are doing. When people are injected with this, as the body begins to warm, you can see certain things begin to create, almost like circuits. It's incredible. Because, again, we are in a time, and now they're going to produce a frequency that's going to activate it even more deeper. This is where we are right now. We are in biological warfare. Amen? And what's going to promote it is a frequency. That's why you and I must stay in God's presence and worship. That's why it's important to keep worship music on in your home. It's creating a frequency, amen, that combats the Antichrist frequency. Hallelujah. That's today's news update. Praise God. Now, in these frequencies, when you speak something, there are what we call word carriers. If you were, remember when, you might have been around, when we used to make little model boats with a little sail in it, you could put in your bathtub, whatever, you know, where you'd go somewhere. If you put a big one, and you blow behind it, and the sail blows that little ship, right? Well, that sail that blows, that breath that blows that little ship is where the Bible says we have life and death in the power of the tongue. Amen? But in that little ship is carriers. So if you look at the ship as a word, because word is a building block. In that ship, or in a box, there's a word. The word is the building block that holds things. The word is the ship. Amen? It's being released. But in that ship is carriers of things. As I was praying a few days ago, I heard the Lord say, "Word carriers, word carriers." And as He began to explain it to me, I saw these little boxes created by the Word, and in them was God's presence or the evil presence, was God's words or evil words. And as they were going over places, because I was warfaring, and as I was warfaring, I was calling destructive fire down in certain places, and I saw these little boxes of the words, go over certain areas in all dimensions. And as they got over their locations, they released fire into destruction. They released God's presence. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1, please. Let's speak together. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but on the tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the what? Spirit or of the breath. Amen? For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So by your words, we are word carriers. And when we release the words, they are going to be released in a certain area. Everything you and I speak is either according to the flesh or according to the will of God. It's one or the other. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Everyone say, I'm a word carrier. That's why I'm the epistle. An epistle. You're a pistol, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 12, verse 31. Let's speak it together, please. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruits. Now, what a tree represents the person or spirit. He said, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of brings forth evil things. Now the treasures are things that people store in their heart. Amen. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be what? Condemned. By your words from the heart, good or evil, treasure is a place of storage, as we call it, stored memory, attachments to the heart of desire, when spoken or released, becomes a carrier. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the breath of God that holds all things of God. So in these building blocks of God's word, or the words that come out of me and you, is either carrying the presence of God or the presence of evil. Amen. You're either allowing the old man to speak or the new man to speak, one or the other. But we're to have dominion over the old man. Amen. But if you're not filled with the Spirit, it makes it difficult to take dominion. Then people are living out of their head, not out of the Spirit. See, people can memorize the Word of God, but it has no effect. Does anybody get that? It can have no effect. In other words, we're to have the sword of the Spirit, not the sword of the flesh, which is the letter. Amen? But the enemy always wants to get you into yourself, not into the Spirit. He'll distract you, he'll mislead you, he'll lie to you. And your old man cooperates whatever the enemy wants. Hallelujah. Go to John 12, in verse 44. Says, then Jesus what? Cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Now remember, Jesus was the word that became flesh. Why? Because he was a carrier. Amen? He was the word carrier. He said, look it. He who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. In other words, he who believes in this temple that was made of God's word. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Verse 46. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Remember, Jesus didn't come to judge the world, but his words did. I'm going to say that again. Jesus did not come to judge the world, but his words did. Amen? Verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Remember, he didn't come to judge the world, but his words did. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, Just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Again, Jesus will not judge, but his words will become his words of carry their judgment. He's the word carrier of light and justice, conviction, healing, and freedom that sets people free. His words are building blocks that carry and release either God's presence at all the times, or you're going to allow the old release words of the evil presence. One or the other. In Romans chapter 16. We are word carriers, and his words are carriers. So people just, sometimes we have a tendency to just look at a word and try and define what the word itself is the meaning of. But know that the words, all words, are building blocks. They're either building the blocks of the enemy's camp, or they're building the blocks of God. They're just building blocks that carry something. Words are building blocks that carry. Amen? Romans 16 and verse 17, please. Hallelujah. Let's begin together. 16:17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offense, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Why? They're carriers or releasers of words that are causing problems, aren't they? For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly or themselves. By what? Smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of many. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple, and what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Hallelujah. These individuals are releasing. Remember, that's why the Bible says bad company corrupts good habits. Because when they release words that are building blocks, they're holding something. They're holding a presence of deception. They're holding a presence of evil. They're holding corruptible seeds. In other words, you can send a letter to someone, and it can have biochemical stuff in it. But if you don't open the letter, you won't get affected. Amen? So many times people are listening and allowing those words to penetrate in them because they're opening them up, and now they're receiving them. And they find themselves in worse condition than what they were. Hallelujah. Cause division. These individuals cause division and offense. Why? Because they're not abiding in the words of Christ. Their words carry deception, evil presence, and bondage because they're being released. 1 Corinthians 2. You know, when somebody first comes into the discipleship house in the program, it's actually deprogram. You have to get deprogrammed from the world. Amen. And from all the garbage and lies. You know, we don't allow any of the stuff, radios and all that stuff. Why? Because it's nothing but the carriers of corruptible seeds and deceptive words. We've got to not only learn to exchange and get reprogrammed into God's way of living, God's way of thinking, where things are life-giving, life-receiving, not destructive to self. You know, people can, there's so much, I pray against that self-condemning spirit every day. Because people self-condemn themselves and don't even realize it. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Let's speak it together. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the what? Mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Man's words that carry lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the lust of self. That's man's words. Carnal words. We are to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to carry words of Christ, to release his presence, his power, and his truth. That's called the anointing. But how can you release something you don't have? Amen? Ephesians 5. God is merciful, forgiving, and graceful. So when we begin, even when we don't understand things, and we begin to make godly confessions, daily confessions, things of God's words, we are speaking them so that they can be released. And again, what you speak is what you eat. So when you accept it, it's being released in you. Ephesians 5:1, please. Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as it is fitting for saints. Never are neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting. Why? Is that releasing corruptible words? Amen. Which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with what? Empty words. These empty words are words without God's presence, power, or truth. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, what? Do not be partakers with them. Do not be partakers with them. Amen. Again, man's words. Empty words. Words that don't carry God's presence, power, and truth. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Some people are trying to look for a conversation sometimes. You know why? Because their words are empty. They're trying to just talk, talk, talk. 2 Peter chapter 2. That's why the Lord said, abide in my word. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also what? False prophets. Oh, now, of course, we know false prophets is releasing words that are empty. Amen? Empty of God's presence, truth, and power. But they're full of deception and confusion, lies, bondage. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies or words and doctrines, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be what? Blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. So we got empty words, deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness to be received for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of ungodliness, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who are afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries or angels who are greater in power and might. Do not bring a violent accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness of those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptive words while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetousness practices and are accursed children. Wow. They are what? Accursed children. Go to verse 18 for a sec. For when they speak great swelling words of what? Emptiness. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them freedom or liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome by him also is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the what? Than the beginning. Wow. Swelling words of emptiness, corruption, bondage, betrayal, deception, releasing the evil presence to those willing to accept their words. They become bound, deceived, and taken captive, and possessed. Hebrews 12. Well, that whole thing just described the Democratic Party, Libertarian Party, and Deep State. And the Biden administration. Let's get right to it, you know. Clinton administration, Obama administration, you know. Even the Bush administration. Hallelujah! Hebrews 12, 18, please. Oh, glory. He says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burn with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. This is when the Lord brought them to their mount, to the mountain, Mount Sinai, and the Lord spoke to them. They freaked out. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to the Mount Zion. And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of the things that are made, and that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a what? He is a consuming fire. Because of their heart, rebellious hearts, their condition, they beg not to hear the words. They carry conviction to turn their hearts back to God. They didn't want to hear the words of God. They just wanted to hear Moses then. God's voice was too expressive and convicting, too powerful, blew them away. Of course, they were in a rebellious state. Amen. Depending where your heart is whether you're able to receive the things of God or not. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, what's wholesome words? Words that are filled with God's presence, His power, and His truth. Hallelujah. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which accords to godliness, he is what? Proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourselves. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith into their greediness and pierced themselves through many sorrows. But you men and women of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, and faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He was blessed and the only potent and King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen and amen and amen. Wholesome words. Jude. Let's go to Jude, man. I believe the hope of the Spirit is to bring visualization in the area of your words, so that we can see these things. See, God wants us more in a visualization in everything. We're called to be seers. We should be able to see things through before they, and see things all the way through before it even is ended. Amen? You know, if we can just slow things down in the Spirit, you'll find the end result of your words. You'll find the end result of many images. Now remember, words also paint a picture, don't they? And in this visualization of picture, you can see all kinds of stuff. You can see where certain roots begun in your life. Why people react to certain things. Because when they were younger, they still see that picture that they keep moving too fast over until they slow it down and see it. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. To do what? Execute judgment on all. To convict all who are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all of their harsh things, which ungodly sinners have what? Spoken against him. These are what? Grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. They mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause division, not walking in the Spirit or having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit or praying in tongues. Now let me explain something about that. Tongues are words. Just because you don't know what you're speaking, those are words from the Spirit. And they are carrying God's presence, God's truth, and God's power. They are carrying the plan of God. They are carrying the mysteries of God. Now, as you're releasing these words, he is sending them out to places. You don't know where they're going. Sometimes he's preparing things for you. And then he's imparting you. Okay, so what you're speaking out, he's releasing, and then what you're eating our mysteries, and he's imparting in you the mysteries. It doesn't go to your head. It is stored in a treasure. And the Holy Spirit will pull it out when he needs to, so you can speak it and release it. So sometimes you think, oh my God, I just got revelation. No, that was already in there. Hello? Oh, the light bulb went off. No, that was already in there. Just Holy Spirit went and got it and put it in storage. Why? Praying in tongues. That's why people that do not pray in tongues enough don't have stored treasures. And sometimes the Holy Spirit's taking everything that's out of there already, waiting to be refilled again. Does everybody get it? That's why it's so important that you desire to be filled and baptized the Holy Spirit with tongues. Hello? The devil hates tongues. Because when you're praying in tongues, those are blocks, amen, carriers that are going against him sometimes. You'd be destroying some of the principalities and driving them out. You know, we're finally out of the way. So many times people wonder, what do I need to pray? Pray in tongues. You don't have to figure it out. Just make sure you get dressed with the full. Look at, we pray in English to comfort ourselves. We play in our own common language to encourage ourselves. There's nothing wrong with it. But you must have enough tongues to be refreshed and connected. You must have enough tongues so that the words of God go out. And so that you have a storage of God's words and weapons and whatever else he's putting in you to bring to remembrance. Amen? Hallelujah. He's talking about words of destruction here in Jude. Walking according to the flesh, these are individuals, cause problems, unstable. They're unable to deny themselves. They're only going to speak their fleshy words. They got to express how they feel. Not in touch or in tone or yielding to the Holy Spirit. Always reasoning according to the emotional flesh and lack of release of the words of God's promises, the carrier words of power and truth. Again, tongues are words filled with God's presence, power and truth, judgment and mysteries. Psalm 50. So, you know, when you think about this, are your words backed by heaven or are they backed by hell? Verse 16, please. 50:16. Let's speak it together. That's what God says to the wicked, because they release words of destruction and lies. But to the wicked, God says what? What right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. Snap. When you saw a thief, you consented with him. You have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil. And your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Wow. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. Why? Because praise are his words. Amen. You're releasing God's presence and changing the atmosphere. And every one of us gets to partake of it when we gather together. Psalm 141. You know, everybody goes through it, you know. You got to remember that your flesh hates God's presence. Your old man hates God's presence. When it comes time to the day to gather together, the old man will come up with every reason and excuse. Oh, I work too much. Well, that extra. Well, I got a headache. My right toe's aching like crazy. I didn't feed the dog. I mean, the enemy will come up with every excuse possible to prevent you from getting in God's presence, man. But it's amazing that if you battle through that and get into God's presence, you're going, man, I'm sure glad I got here. I'm sure glad I got in God's presence. If you're a connector, or if you're still eyes are on you during the whole worship, you're God, ain't nothing going to happen. But we come to his presence to change, but you're not changing unless there's an exchange. Amen? So we come into God's presence to exchange, but he knows that. That's why I ask all the time, Lord, allow me to meet you in the meeting place, the secret place, so I can get a full exchange today. I want a full exchange, not a partial. I want a full exchange. Just exchange it all. Get rid of all those aches and pains and get rid of everything. Heal this dude. Help me. Restore the mind of Christ in me. I want a full exchange. You can have my mind. I'll take yours. Amen? Psalm 141, verse 1. Let's speak it. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, and let the lifting of my hands as an evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips, and do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work in iniquity. And do not let me eat their what? Their delicacies. Let the righteous smack me. Let it shall be kindness, and let him rebuke me, and it shall be an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it, for still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Their judges are overthrown by the cliffs, the sides of the cliff, and they what? Hear my words, for they are sweet. So why are the judges overthrown? Because of the release of his words. This is how we have victory. That's how we warfare. You are word carriers of God's judgment. This is the blessing of the saints, to execute judgment. But you must execute judgment according to God's word. We're to guard our words. We're to only carry the words of God for conviction and judgment. Amen. Healing and destructive fire. Let's just get right down to it. Amen. I'm telling you, as the Lord was showing me, when I'm calling destructive fire down in places, and he's directing me where to send it, I saw these boxes, like, which was the word of God in the carrier in this. And then fire would come, release them. It was like almost a bomber going over places and releases bombs in these places. If we could see things more clearly, if we can visualize these things, man, there's so much communication and fellowship in the Spirit when you see things better. Hallelujah. Luke 6, verse 46. Let's speak it. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? In other words, why aren't you obedient? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Now, founded on the rock, we know is anointing, but anointed words. What's the building blocks of the anointing? Is God's word. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was what? Great. Great. Again, building on man's words or God's words, backed by the anointing. I'm going to close at Psalm 19, verse 7. You know, when you begin to see where it says the law, the testimony, these are all words. Amen? The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from the secret faults. Keep back your servant also for presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Word carriers, we are the epistles. Watch what you release. Amen. God said, I sent my word and it came, did not come back void. His words don't come back void. If we're speaking his words, they're doing something no matter what. Just because it doesn't happen right away, it's still happening. Amen? Give God a break. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And as word carriers of your truth, your power, and your presence, the anointing, we ask that you seal us today with these words that you've released to bring to remembrance, that we may be about your business and the world may see you and not us. In Jesus' name.